You already know what time it is.
What is it?
This is a Holofest. Holofest exclusive interview.
Yo, hold on. This is not exclusive right here.
You heard? Exclusive.
Where you ask the real questions, we get the real answers from the artists themselves.
Oh, that's what's up.
The new Holofest Radio. Where we're not scared to ask the real questions. I'm not afraid. The exclusive interview starts now.
All right, those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to the sounds of New York City's official number one radio station for holy hip-hop, gospel, reggaeton. This is your boy, man, Pastor Alexander Pagani, a.k.a. the voice of New York City. Man, you have reached the second hour of the show where we have a chance to break it down, man, with them gospel hip-hop legends, the new and upcoming artists, the labels, producers, those in our genre doing it big, hear their heart, have real talk, no editing, no holds barred, just straight from the heart to your ears, and we just have a chance to just appreciate, celebrate what God is doing in their lives. Today is gonna be one of those moments in Holofest where we make history again. We got on the line the legendary veteran in holy hip hop, Corey Red. Red is on the line, and I just want to warn you, everybody that's tuning in, we're not gonna edit this. This is raw as it gets. Corey,
yo, if your ears is too precious, man, go to the bathroom, man.
Yo,
get out of here, man. We real up in here. Don't matter of fact, listen, man. Go look at the TV or something, man. Go hide under the covers where it's safe. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, Red, man. Listen, first of all, this interview is for you to just share your heart, but I don't want to start off like jumping into like issues.
Okay, praise the Lord.
All right. You can calm down a little bit. Let me calm down as well. I want to first.
Me too. Let's chill. All right.
I feel you. Let's settle down. I want to first celebrate you, man. First, I want to celebrate. I don't tolerate you. A lot of Christian hip-hop artists throughout the years, for the most part, a lot do celebrate you, but there's a large portion, man, that just tolerates you. I'm not that dude. I celebrate you, man. Let me share something that you don't know. When I first came out of prison and I didn't know nothing about Christian hip-hop, my father, my biological father, who's a minister of the gospel, gave me a cassette tape of the Mark of the East. And
okay.
It had been my first time ever listening to Christian hip hop that for me was dope. At that time, I had Christian hip hop, some experience with it, and for me, coming from the street, it was whack. Just for me. I'm not saying that it was whack. But for me at that time, it was whack. And I guess my father didn't want me to kind of like lose the vibe of my Christianity that I had embraced while I was in prison. So he said, here, listen to this. And when I first heard the compilation cassette tape of the Mark of the East, it revolutionized my concept and perception of Christian hip hop from whack to, yo, this is dope. Talk to me about the Mark of the East from its infant stages, holy hip hop from back then, that just literally just revolutionized the whole genre where everybody was just giving the cassette tape out and talking about it. Talk to me about Mark of the East, man, and just everything that from that movement at that time.
Okay, well, for those who are not familiar with the Mark of the East, he's talking about 1998 right here. And so you're talking about the late 90s. There was just a bunch of people around New York in the mid to late 90s that would go from churches to parks to me. I used to go to the open mics and everything. I wasn't in the Lyricist Lounge, but the people who do the Lyricist Lounge had other showcases and stuff. I was in those. You know, and I would come on, write my name, get up there. Now, mind you, it's different rhyming for the Lord in the mid to late 90s.
Uh-huh.
In the 90s, nobody's digging God up.
Mm.
It's all about how could you diss God straight up.
Wow.
So you jump up in a nightclub 1 o'clock in the morning in 1996 talking about God. Catchers look, they don't know whether to clap or rush the stage. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at you like, huh? Did this dude just come up here? Wait, I mean, I've been in joints where it's like, you know what I mean, different rappers that was out of time, and it was like, yo, did he get, and did I not, I wanted not like it, but that was hot.
Yeah, man, yeah.
And so, you know, in New York, there was a brother out in Queens named Savid.
Mm-hmm.
That was his producer name. And another brother, Kermit Gary, and another brother, Alex Wright. They had the idea about putting this compilation together because it was like everybody in New York rep everything except God. And we knew about, okay, some dudes, they've been repping the God in the West, they've been repping God in the South. It's time for God to make his mark in the East.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was a play on word, of course, with the mark of the beast.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the mark of the East was just about Christ making his mark in the East. Understand? It wasn't about a competition with other regions making his mark in the East. So, and I wasn't originally down. You know what I'm saying?
I heard that.
Cats was down. And what happened was, they had told him about, yo, it was this dude in the Bronx named Corby Ray. Yo, he ill with it. But Savin here, we had a lot of songs just down in third. He was like, Corby, who? You know what I'm saying? He's like, I don't care. All right, man, we got too many people. You know what I'm saying? So I was out at the safe house one day, one Sunday. Me, him, and his daughter looking at the game, Jordan killing whoever. And I think we was looking at Jordan. And we were just freestyling to the Triumph beat. That's around Triumph was out like 97 or so.
That's right.
Wu-Tang, the Triumph track.
So
it was like halftime. Me, him, and his daughter was just bugging, freestyling, laughing, acting stupid. And while we were freestyling, I said, yo, fam, what you think about this hook right here? You know what I'm saying? He was like, what? I was like, yo, without fear, become to bring the gospel in your section. The Jesus, the Boogie Down Shaolin connection. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And it was like, yo, that sound kind of cold. He was like, yo, let's just go in and start doing something. We did this song. We did a song like The Triumph. It's called, it's known on the Mark of the East as the Epilogue. You know what I'm saying? If you listen to the rhymes we spitting on the epilogue, it goes to the Triumph track. So then we did that, and I went with Precise to record his song. And when I was just sitting in the studio, and so he was like, yo, we got this song, you know what I mean? You want to hear it? He was like, let me hear it. So we did it. He was like, his head start bobbing. You know how producers is. He said, yo, go on the booth and rhyme to this. So he threw on the, remember the old, so do the
jing.
So we went and threw that in there, and then he went and made the beat for later, and he threw it on, and then he was like, yo, I like that though. Do you want to do a song? You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? So then that's why he gave me some tracks, and I did It's My Turn.
Yes, you know, man. Classic track right there.
Yeah, when I did It's My Turn, you know what I'm saying? It's the irony of the song is, you know, I didn't have nothing going for me. You know what I'm saying? I lost my job. I was bouncing house to house, couch to couch. And, you know, I came up with that having nothing going for me to even say remotely think that it would be my turn. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
It was like, okay. But it just felt like, okay, it's my turn to go from just rhyming underground and start recording.
Yeah.
And we did it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? When I heard it, I didn't like the way it sounded. But I was like, oh, man, my debut. I'm going to be garbage on my debut. Oh, dang. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this, then. Are you your own worst critic? Like, when you hear yourself, you're like, I don't like it. And then others is like, yo, I'm feeling this.
That's the type of person I am. Most people are hard on everybody else and easy on themselves.
Yeah.
My personality is I'm easy on other people. I'm hard on myself. You know, I try to be very understanding and merciful when I'm looking at other people. Just life, period. That's just how I am. So, but at the same time, you know, you learn where it's like, okay, you know, like I said, I don't shoot from the hip. People think I shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
People for some reason think that I think.
Yeah.
That I could do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't believe that. Again, where they get that? I mean, listening to these journalists and these radio personalities,
yeah,
tell you who people are and get to find out who people are themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even with my whole style, people say, "Yo, Corby Red Rhyme Raw because that he's trying to reach the street and the unsafe." No, that's not the reason why I rhyme. How I rhyme. That ain't the reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I rhyme the way I rhyme? Because that's just the way I rhyme. It no deep philosophy and strategy.
Okay, with that comment that you just said, why is it that for others we celebrate that, but for many it is completely controversial? For many, they find it just too vulgar, considering that you're a Christian, and Christians shouldn't seem to be glorifying or be as graphic in their presentation of the gospel, especially when it comes to ministry. Talk to me about that, because from my understanding of scripture, the scripture uses words like whore, bastard, you know, very, you know, the whore of Revelation.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
And I quoted the scripture that, in the rhyme, I quoted the scripture that it was in. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? But some people don't realize that they use their debate of the gospel and theology, this is how their flesh glorifies itself a lot of times. Like, they don't realize, they say they're being zealous for God and trying to protect the things of God, but you got to realize, a lot of people criticize because they don't really, like, do anything or represent anything. Like, they can't really get on their presence on the internet is what? They don't have a business, they don't do music, they're not an accountant, they don't really have anything to really offer. So their whole reason for having a presence is to critique some people's ministry, is to critique everybody else's ministry. And you got to realize too. Let's talk about the people who have legitimate concerns. So some people's concerns are legitimate. Like if I was them, I would see it like them too. I could feel it like them too. My whole thing is the world we live in is vulgar. The world we live in is ugly. You know what I'm saying? And just because I've changed, the world's continuing to get worse. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, too, and also, too, in this era of political correctness that we're in, that is structured to not offend anybody, it accomplishes that, but it also takes away what the actual issue of which you're talking about a lot of times is, too.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, sometimes there's political language when people are talking about, and you don't even realize that they're talking about abortion or talking about all these horrible things. You know what I'm saying?
They call it Planned Parenthood, and that's the political way of saying we're killing off children. That's just the political way.
By the millions.
Yes, exactly. Understandable.
America has killed more babies than all the wars since the Civil War.
I feel you. I feel you, man.
You understand? Even like Memorial Day when it comes up.
People,
they think about the veterans, but Memorial Day was started after the Civil War in which Americans killed other Americans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
That's the purpose of Memorial Day. It wasn't because of the soldiers dying over the seas. It's for all the soldiers while we killed each other. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just at a, like, this is something, and I talked with you another time, this issue of how I talk and what I say and all this. My thing with everybody is this year, because you got to realize I've been answering this question for like 15 years.
Yeah, man.
You understand what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So this year, my group answer for everybody, because one thing I did, yo, over the years, I mean, I would sit and eat cereal and look at TV and watch people in interviews. I study people. That's just my habit. I'm like a natural born sociologist. You know what I'm saying?
So
I would look at people when they got in controversies in the news. Mind you, this is over like the last 20 years.
I feel you.
Mind you, this even goes back even before then. Even like I could have went outside and committed a crime or sold some drugs or something. When I came in the house, I always thought it was good to be smart and have some type of intellect. So I studied people over the last 20 years in the media when they were in controversies. And I see one pattern that fits everything is, the more that person tries to explain themselves, the more their words get misconstrued and twisted against them. And the more they look like the culprit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, my one answer for everybody this year when it comes to music is simply this. I'm putting out a lot of music. God continues to give me life. I'm going to put out more music this year than my whole career put together. And I'm coming from all styles, all angles. And my answer to everybody is simply this. I've been doing it on Twitter. I got one sound bite for everybody. I'm putting out a bunch of music. If you do not like it, do not listen to it. and do not buy it. And whatever you do, you all appreciate it.
I listen to you, man, and there's so much similarities between you and I. You know, at first, you know, when Hollafest first, you know, about 3.5 years ago, when we really just really took radio very, very seriously and began to make our mark in the genre. You know, I made it my business to try to answer every critic, every blog about my intentions.
Right. And just you can't do that. Man, that'll drive you crazy.
The more I tried, the more angry and bitter I became. I just eventually just said, all right, I'm controversial, and I embraced it. I embraced it.
Say hello to the bad guy. Because it's like, this is my thing, fam. It's like, because I'm raw, people betray me like this. I'm not really saved. He's not really Christian. But when ask anybody who meet me, I don't present myself as no thug or nothing. When I meet some, you get the love of God for me when you meet me. I want everybody to understand where Corey Ready is this year. Let me tell you, this is the failure of a lot of leaders, right? Uh-huh. And I'm talking about whether you're an artist, a pastor, a politician. Somewhere along the line, they begin to develop a following, mm-hmm. a constituency, a fan base, whatever you want to call it,
uh-huh.
an audience of people that follow them. What happens after a while is they become slaves to their followers, their constituents, their congregations, et cetera,
Interesting.
And now they no longer do things based on the truth in their heart or how they really feel to do it. Now everything is based on what their following will allow them to do.
Wow.
So at that place, it becomes a two-way relationship. The leader is scared to lose the followers.
Mm.
Now they validate his value as a person.
That's deep right there. That's deep
right
there.
So me, I'm the type of person that, praise God for every, I don't even call my audience really, in a meeting or something, or like a marketing meeting, you know, I refer to people as fans.
Uh-huh.
But in my heart, I don't even see y'all as fans. I see y'all as just my audience.
Uh-huh.
People give me an idiot.
Yeah.
And I love y'all, and I appreciate the support, but I can't become a slave to y'all.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so it's like, I'm the type of person this year who, not that I wanted to be like that, but I'm willing to lose everybody that ever rocked with me. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
Not because I think I'm more that, but because there's a whole planet full of human beings out here.
Mm.
Do you understand, fam, if we go outside of, which I've always been outside of, the Christian hip-hop, oldie hip-hop, I just, you know, I deal with both, the world and the body.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand that if you look at everybody who's not a part of the holy hip hop culture,
uh-huh.
do you understand if you take 1% of those people that are in the music,
yeah,
and take 1/100th of that percent, and then 1/100th of that percent, it's still more than a whole holy hip hop culture, and there's work to be done out here. Like I don't, you don't understand, like. People can't kick me. I'm already an outcast in the culture. You feel
uh-huh.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've never been fully embraced. And you got to realize, like I tell people, and you're going to hear me say a lot this year, this is my one liner. You can't abandon a man who already feels alone. Y'all can't abandon me. I already feel alone. Then over the years, myself and Precise, either directly or indirectly, jumped off at least 1,000 ministries. That's just a round number I grabbed. You know what I'm saying? And then when we came out and do things, and you know what I'm saying, none of those people support us. I know ministries that wanted to try to get quote unquote big names,
uh-huh.
but they couldn't afford them, or the people wasn't feeling they little event.
Yeah.
And me and Placenta go like, all right, cool, we go do that. You know what I'm saying? For the people. You understand?
Mm.
For the first annual, whatever thing they jumping off. But then what happened is, by their third annual, when they got budgets and people involved and we really pumped it off and they got the money, they never called me in for sight. You know what I'm saying? They called all the people who gave them their behind the kids. Like, somebody asked me, they said, "Yo, Red, man, let me ask you a question." It was a genuine question. They said, "Yo, Red, with all you've been through, fam, I don't understand why you ain't, like, more angry, like, why you ain't angry and bitter." It's because I went through my stage with that in, like, 2005.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I didn't put any albums or any music out in 2005.
Uh-huh.
I fell back and let God deal with my heart, and I overcame that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I'm an overcomer, because I've overcome everything that's giving me negative emotions, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It comes a point in time that you got to realize, I don't shriek the fact that there is an aspect of me that is a role model.
Yeah.
Things that I do and say do affect other people. Uh-huh. I embrace all that. But at the same time, you could become so overwhelmed with that, and that would literally almost drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta watch this or this down and third, and it's like, okay, you want me to watch what I say in my song because you think it's too much for your child, but your child knows every word to Rick Ross's lyrics.
Mm.
You understand? So all you're doing is hindering me. And even the people who feel like, well, not my little Davy. Yes, you're a little Davy too. You may not allow it in your house, but when little Davy gets around his peers and little Davy know how to play you and come back around you and portray himself as being innocent and naive to the things of the world.
Let me change the tide a little bit, man.
Oh, can I say one more thing? The reason I'm talking a lot of this right here, because everybody knows, I'm not doing this type of interview all year.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Everything ain't going to be in a negative. It's going to be, what am I doing? This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm working on. Things outside of music, et cetera, et cetera. And that's it. So, I mean, I'm giving you this because sometimes I'm just going to refer people. I'll just probably take a copy of this from you and put that on the site and just refer people to that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going through this anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because it's things that need to happen. It's things that happen in this country and things that are happening in the world, to be honest, that's another thing, too.
Uh-huh.
There's more things going on than what Corey Redd is talking about. You know what I'm saying? That you need to be concerned about.
Definitely.
That regardless of what Corey Redd never do a record again, it's still going to happen.
Now, let me ask you, with that in mind, you know, what church do you attend? Because many might think you don't even attend church, man, with, you know.
Yeah, I heard some people think that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They think I go to the Buddhist temple or something. I go to Bethel Gospel Assembly in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
My pastor's Carlton Brown, Bishop Carlton Brown, and in honor to my pastor, even my pastor doesn't feel everything that I do either. Just anybody who wants to know, like, if they're trying to figure out, well, does your pastor condone it? I'm a pastor. Any man I'm talking, he don't agree with everything I do.
You know what's crazy is that's exactly why they asked that question. The question was,
that's the sneakiness. You see,
what church do you attend, and what does your pastor think about your music? That was the question, bro.
instead of just asking the question, you feel me? See the sneakiness? Those are the games that I'm not playing this year.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Sometimes Christian hip hop fans or haters, sometimes they just make you laugh, man. It's like, these dudes is just hilarious. I want to talk to you now about the movement coming out of New York, and I want to hear your heart on this. You know, obviously, I'm a New Yorker, been a New Yorker, and I support Christian hip hop from New York. I love my city. You know what I'm saying? I love Christ first, but I love my city, and I love the movement.
Right.
You know, and I love the boom bap, but obviously, you know that, you know, commercialized modern day Christian hip hop, boom bap is not in. I'm just gonna be real with you, with my dealings,
in my
dealings with Hollafast and the level that we are, that we've just dealt with the whole country. New York, the New York scene on the Christian hip hop from New York City, I'm just gonna be real with you, Red, it's not even on the radar anymore. Nobody's talking about it. Last year I did, you know, a series of shows where I was just featuring just New York. And I'm going to be real with you, Red. It was the lowest I ever got as far as listeners ever in Hollafast. That for a moment, mm-hmm. I got discouraged because I had never seen the numbers that low. I mean, it were extremely low. And when I've talked to, let's just say, other Christian hip-hop websites, the owners of those websites, you know, I've had real talk with them. They straight up told me, we love New York, we respect what New York has done, but New York Christian hip-hop is whack. That's what they've told me, and I'm just having real talk with you. Talk to me about New York. I got a couple of other questions concerning New York, and I want to hear your perspective on it. But why is it like that when it comes to modern day commercialized Christian hip hop now, 2011? We're still doing it, but why is it that it's not on the radar for the genre? Nobody's looking to New York. Talk to me.
If you're a New York artist and you're only gonna make music that New York is like, you know, you can't get mad when people outside of New York don't like you. They're not hating you. You're only making music for other New Yorkers. So okay, go to your own New York party. It's just the same thing. It's the same thing with the Christians. You're making music. You're saying the same thing with Christian hip hop. Period. You're making music that only other Christians could really like. So okay, don't get to say the world is hating on you. You understand what I'm saying? So
uh-huh.
You gotta see. Whatever move you make as an artist, you got to recognize what consequences come with those, and you got to ask yourself, are you willing to accept that? See, I understand that the way I'm doing music this year, I could lose everybody, or I could gain a whole bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? So I'm willing to accept the consequences. Like me, you understand, I can't fail, because my definition of what success for me this year is not really most other people's definition. My definition of success is, I have the vision written out of Mayplane. I got 7 albums I'm putting out this year.
Wow.
And 4 mixtapes. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
This year, I'm going to do those 7 albums, and I'm going to do those 4 mixtapes. When December 31st comes, if God grant me the mercy to still be here, I go into 2012. If I ain't generating no type, if nothing happens, and I just reach like 1,000 people, through, I'm not talking about sales. I can make more sales than that. I'm saying if I just actually turn around 1,000 people's life this year, no matter who they are, Christian, non-Christian, which I know I'm going to do if I get to put all that music out, then that's my definition of success. If I don't have a big buzz and everybody ain't feeling me and everybody ain't looking for me, I'm not going to be in a corner in the field position crying. You know what I mean? I'm working on books. There's other things I want to do as far as documentaries. And I work a job real hard, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm working a regular job right now. So, you know, I work so hard at work, I don't even have time to even know all this other stuff that's going on. And that's success for me. For me this year, success is just putting the music out and letting it be what it be. And the result, or lack of result from it, can't affect me.
So
I can't lose this year.
So with 7 albums, 4 mixtapes, that's basically 11 just projects, you know what I'm saying? Is it particularly designed, like what you just said, that New Yorkers will appreciate, or is there some that will be commercial?
What people don't know about me is I'm not just hardcore.
Uh-huh.
You know, don't get me wrong. You know, the hardcore underground boom bap. I always do that till my last breath. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to get away from that. But you know, now I got commercial stuff. I got southern. I got pop. I got commercial. You know what I mean? I got a couple of tracks. Britney Spears, which she had. You know what I'm saying? So I get to really this year too. I get to artistically, you know, spread my wings in a way that I haven't been able to do because I was hindered by production. You know, my lack of not doing more commercial things really was more a lack of production or a lack of getting other things in place that I needed. Like, it makes no sense to make a song for the radio if you now have anything positioned for you to be on the radio.
You're
make
right.
A radio song for what if you're not going to be on the radio anyway? You know what I'm saying? And if only people that's going to play you is the people that have power to play you, then you can always just make music. I have stuff. You'll see videos from me this year. I'm really want to step my visual. My visual viral game up. You see, and stuff like this. You know, you'll see live interviews. You know, maybe sometimes I get with you. You could be the interviewee. You know, I'm going to be the interviewee. And, you know,
let's do it.
You just get it in. You know what I'm saying? So, certain things I'll address. And, like I said, at the end of the day, my thing is just, if you don't like me, And I've never been trying to get people enlightened. I never try to get people to co-sign anything that they feel goes against their conscience to co-sign. All I'm saying is, why do you pay me more? Like, why am I don't understand why somebody that you don't really particularly care for, somebody that's not, I'm not really, even amongst Christians, I'm not like a main artist. You know what I'm saying? I'm just really kind of like that. I'm kind of like that. That guy you want to forget, and every time you look up, there he go again. You know, pretty much. Like, every time you say Corey Redd is over, then you hear something. It's like, whether you like it or not, it's relevant to somebody.
You know, with that comment that you just said, it's the same reason when people ask me the question I just asked you concerning New York. We're that city, you try to forget, but when you lift up your head, there we are. We're just right there.
But I don't look at it. Like I said, my thing is, I'm concerned about the kingdom of God. Like I said, like, whatever it's going to be with New York or not with New York, you know, that's what it is. But to be honest, some people, it's not the music either. Like I said, some part of it is New York artists' fault. And sometimes we focus on lyricism and being raw so much, we got away from putting music, you know, being musical and artistic with the whole, you know, presentation. So some of that is our own fault, and we can't cry about it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, as a city outside of hip-hop and music, like sometimes people just don't like New Yorkers. You know what I mean? And sometimes some people don't listen to New York music, they just don't like New Yorkers. You know what I'm saying?
And now, so, why?
You know,
what would be... I have my suspicions why, and I'll share them... And if they're the same as yours, because I've gotten that as well. You know what I'm saying? You know, there are some that in my dealings with in the culture that, you know, when you just mention New York, they just don't like New York. Like, they always nitpick in New York, and it has... Why do you think it's like that? Why do you think it's like... Why do you think they don't like New York City?
I mean, well, it's
be real.
It's a premier city. It's the largest city in the nation. And I think, too, especially some of our brothers and sisters in the South, I think the older ones really, mostly, they still kind of like hold it against New York when everything was so deeply centered in New York. That how hard it was to be accepted. And I feel like they just, you know, they kind of like hold that grudge. You know what I'm saying? Because when you think about it, you're a New York radio personality. You did a show in New York, and New Yorkers didn't come to it. Like, so how much hate could New York have for the rest of the country when the rest of the country's music gets more done here than even New York? It's like, I don't understand. This whole thing about New York not liking people is like, it's not like it was like back in the day. Right now, if we just ride through the city and we turn on Hot 97 or whatever, you hear way more stuff from the South than you hear from New York. And so the hate that they're talking about New Yorkers have for them, it gotta be from the past. There's way more people who embrace music outside of New York than others. The only thing I can tell, people is make music that's undeniable. Take a box of Kleenex tissues, dry your eyes, stop crying, stop running around like Charlie Brown talking about why is everybody picking on me, and make music that's undeniable. That's all. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you, man. Last concluding, finalizing all. First of all, thank you for your real talk and of your time. You know what I'm saying? This has been very enriching. And I'm also a fan as well, man. So it's just great talking to somebody that that helped me go through, you know, my transition when I first came home from prison. And, you know, Christian hip-hop was the vehicle God used at that time until I grew a little more. That just kept me focused. That just kept me, you know, yeah, man. And just motivated for the things of the Lord. And so, you know, I'm genuinely just talking to you in celebration of what God has done through your ministry. And I understand everything you're talking about because I have a similar ministry. I preached on the train. I preached on the trains, prisons. I love that stuff. I love just working with, you know, just the community. Let me ask you this. Going back to musical, a musical question.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a minute since we've heard anything from Corey Redd. Aside from, I believe last year, you released a track saying, I'm still here. You know what I'm saying? You're like, listen, Throughout everything, I'm still here. But it's been a minute, maybe about 5, 6 years, 2005. A lot has changed since then. Some good, some bad. Who would be the ideal artist label that you said, you know what? In 2011, from Corey Red, I'm feeling so-and-so, and I would love to work with that. Or I'm listening to this person's music on my iPod. You know, a fan. Who is a Corey Red a fan of?
To be honest, there's a lot of people that I respect. There's a lot of people I still do their thing. And I can't really... Most of the people that I probably would be able to name is like somebody like nobody really knows.
Yeah.
Just can't really think of it off the head. But it's not that I can't really say I'm too much of a fan of anybody's whole body of work, but there's a lot of people out here do their thing, and I'm like, you know, I know one thing I feel, I told him himself, so I'll say it in public. I heard this whole song, I Hate You.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was talking about crack and all that, how he hates crack.
Uh-huh.
And me being somebody who was in the community, you know, actually part of the destruction of the community during the crack. That was really hard. I really appreciated that song. And I told him I thought it was, everything, lyrics, the production, the passion. I think that's one of the greatest songs like ever done in rap history.
Yeah, man.
History of rap, period.
Yeah, man.
you know
what's crazy is, you know, I interviewed Thizzle a couple of months ago and I told him the same thing, but I told him because I'm gonna be real with you, Red, my mom, she's saved now, but my mom was a crackhead. My mom smoked crack. I grew up watching my mom smoke crack, and I ended up running the streets, being a stick-up kid.
Right.
So when I heard Thizzle, I had the same impression. The dude almost made me cry. I was like, man, I feel that right there.
Yeah, I love that song right there, because, I mean, I think the devastation that crack has done to our communities throughout America can't be overstated, yo.
Yeah.
it's still feeling the effects to it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh,
it's like,
uh-huh.
I mean, whoever came with the plan to do that really did a number on us with that one.
Uh-huh.
You know
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? And so, I think about off the head right now, I think that song right there is one of the greatest songs in rap history, not just Christian rap, like rap history.
Last question, and then we're going to close this thing. This one is, I think, on everybody's mind, even mine. Where is Precise? Nobody knows. I don't know. Nobody in New York knows. I figured we'll ask you. You know. There's been speculation that he's not even in the kingdom no more. He's in the world doing his thing. I wanna address that here. I don't know. Where is Precise? Because nobody knows.
Precise is working 16-hour shifts at his job, and he's going to school, and he's taking care of his 3 kids.
Okay. That's all we need to know. Final thoughts, man, before we get off the air. We said a mouthful in this interview. Just final thoughts before we get off the air here. The floor is yours, man. Like, Corey Red, final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts off the head, I would just simply say that to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, I love y'all. I love the Lord. I love the people. And I've never been a person who was so vain that I could just think that everything I do or said and my whole walk was right. But all I can say right now is I want to address the music situation. As far as music goes, from the first time I started doing it till now, I always did music from the perspective of where I am in my walk with God and where I am in my as just a man walking in this earth.
Uh-huh.
That's why no project you ever heard, no mixtape you ever heard ever sound the same, because I'm not always in the same exact place.
Uh-huh.
So all I can say is, you know, I'm going to do this music. Hopefully people are giddy. I know a lot won't. And I'll take the criticism, but just know this, that, you know, Corey Red is about love. I love y'all. I love the people. And love God and I love myself. And all I can say is I'm not continuing to be misunderstood. And I'm cool with that. But like I said early in the show, there's a whole people out here, Christian and non-Christian, that we as Christians who are part of the hip-hop culture are having minimal to no effect whatsoever. And so I did what I did. I did the work of an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what anybody can say, I've done the work of an apostle and evangelist, and I've laid the foundation. Now we got 3 million Christian rappers. So y'all really don't really need Corey Redd to be the 3 million and one rapper.
Uh-huh.
All in the same place fighting for position. I love y'all, but I got to go out into the dark places and get these people. And when I go out there, I can't be pitter-patter with them. I can't be playing with them. You know what I mean? I got to deal real. So I know I'm going to lose a lot of support, and I know I'm going to be very misunderstood. But I just want y'all to know it's not mutual. I love y'all, and I never consider anybody. I'm not one of those people that consider everybody who doesn't agree with you a hater.
Uh-huh.
Some people just don't. Some people have an honest beef, an honest critique, and some people just don't understand. But all I know is I love God, and God loves me. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully I see y'all on the battlefield. But if not, even though that, even though a lot of my brothers, even though a lot of ministries, even though a lot of churches will not support me and even speak evil of me, the feeling's not mutual. And I love y'all because y'all God people.
All right, y'all, man. You've been listening to the sounds of New York City's official number one radio station for holy hip-hop, gospel, reggaeton. Exclusive live interview with my man, the legendary Corey Redd. This has been by far one of the most enriching interviews we've done here on Holla Fest Radio, man. Just so, Redd, listen, man, it's been a pleasure. Love you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, no
when
doubt.
I see you, I don't want to talk. I want to hug. I want to hug straight
you know,
love. You know what I'm saying?
You know how soldiers do. You know how soldiers do. Battlefield, you
definitely,
know
man. I look forward to all 11 projects, and I'm gonna ask the body of Christ, man, pray for my man Corey, and just pray that God will bring resources and just finances and the production to be top notch. Pray for him. Pray, y'all. Christians, pray. The Bible says confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that we may be healed. Pray for my brother Corey. Not just for Corey, for everybody doing it. Pray for Preach That Fire. We need it. Love you guys, man. This has been a great interview. Keep it locked, man, to the next interview. We're out, man. Let's Preach That Fire, man. Sister Shorty Blaze, Holla Fest Radio.
Time
to go. Let's go.
Goodbye now.
I just came to say goodbye.
Hang on, guys. Shed no tear. Engine set. We're out of here.
Yo, see ya.
See ya.
See ya.
You've been listening to the new Holla Fest Radio with Preach That Fire, Sister Shorty Blaze, and Kid Mongo. Holla Fest Radio is sponsored by He Is Risen Tabernacle, New York City. For more information on Holla Fest Radio,